Ingle, Oladamare, Jinyami, Olorun, God, Jehovah, Allah, Amun-Ra, the many names for the original ancestor, the ancestor who sees all and knows all, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We do not pour libation to you, but this morning we come pouring libation in memory and honor of our ancestors and asking them to intercede with you on our behalf. We know that our ancestors, being in the spirit world, are closer to you, and there's a greater opportunity that our request will be granted. We ask this morning that you grant the listeners the willingness to open their hearts and their minds to the information that's going to be shared, such that they will hear the truth and then be able to act on the truth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors from Mother Africa, the ancestors who were the beginning of the human family that we now have, no matter what your ethnic or cultural background is, the beginning of human life as we know it was on the African continent. Every person on the face of the earth has as their original ancestor an African. We ask those Africans who were the first to conceive of a family, the first to plant a seed, the first to till the land, the first to domesticate animals, the first to navigate the mighty Nile River to Egypt, the first to build a skyscraper, the first to do surgeries, the first to explore the wonders of the galaxy, and as importantly, the first to conceive of the belief in one God. We ask those ancestors to come and be with us today, to bring their wisdom, their hard work, their ingenuity to all that we do. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors who were murdered, displaced, diminished during our great Holocaust, our great Miafa, we do not forget you. We remember your unwilling sacrifice as your bodies are lined the Sahara and the Atlantic Ocean. We remember you, and we honor you, and we ask that you come and be with us today. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. We ask our ancestors who gave us the great document, the Ma'at, to come be with us, bring your additional sense of honor and integrity as embodied by Ma'at to our discussions and our listings this morning. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To those ancestors from the Caribbean islands, from Brazil, from the southern parts of these United States, who through your unpaid labor laid the groundwork for the civilizations that are enjoyed by billions of people around the world. To those ancestors, we say we do not forget you. We remember your sacrifice, your hard work. And we ask that you come and be with us today to inspire us to also do the work required to correct a world that has gone mad. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And to those ancestors who are yet to be born, those ancestors for whom we do good work, those ancestors to whom we pledge to honorably do righteous work all the time for ourselves, for our families, for our communities, so we can be correct to be able to benefit from the largesse that the Creator has provided for all of us. Ancestors, we pledge ourselves to continue to do work such that when you return, this place will be a better earth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And finally, we'd like to ask you and our audience to think of one of your ancestors, someone who you would like to be with us this morning. On the count of three, ask that ancestor to come and be with us. One, two, three. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We said libation, libation, libation. It is good.
That people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Ain't no doing things. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
I'm nervous. Why is he dressed like Rowdy Piper?
I got Scottish in my family.
Scottish?
Come on.
So who's your bridesmaid?
Come on, man. Just support me. Support me. Come on now. When the man is ready, he's ready. When y'all get 80, 70, 60, 55 years old, and y'all gonna be sitting in the rocking chair by yourself, let's go to the club. Y'all gonna be the only old in the club.
Y'all playing the side, man. Why get married, Pippa? Why?
So, I typed a text to a girl I used to see, saying that I chose this cutie pie with whom I want to be. And I apologize if this message gets you down. Then I CC'd every girl that I'd CC round town. And hate to see y'all frown, but I'd rather see her smiling. Witness all around me, true. But I'm no island, peninsula maybe. Makes no sense, I know crazy. Give up all this that's in my lap, no looking back. Spaceships don't come equipped with rear view mirrors, they dip. As quick as they can, the atmosphere is now ripped. I'm so like a pimp, I'm glad it's night. So the light from the sun would not burn me on my bum when I shoot the moon. High jump the broom, like a preemie out the womb. My partner yelling, too soon, don't do it. Reconsider, read some litter. Sure on the subject, you sure? Yeah. You know we got your back like chiropractic. If that do you dirty, we'll wipe her out as in detergent. Now hurry, hurry, go on to the altar. I know you ain't a pimp, but pimp, remember what I taught you. Keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart, three stacks. These girls are smart. Play your part. Play your part.
Jones. To choose it, love or never without a rubber. Never in the sheets like it on top of the cover. Money on the dresser, drive a compressor. Top notch, get the most, not the lesser. Trash like the for $40 in the club. Up the game, she gets no love. She be cross country, giving all that she got. A thousand a pop, I'm pulling billions off the lot. I smashed up the gray one, bought me a red. Every time we hit the parking lot, we turn head. Some wanna choose, but them just too scary. You chose me, you ain't a pimp, you a fake.
Slaughter of them pockets had to tie to a rock.
Send her into outer space, I know he wish he could. Cause he paying 20K a day, that b- eating good. Like an infant on a double D, just getting drunk. Cause you miscalculated the next to the last pump.
Dump, dump in the gut from the giddy up. Better choose the right one or pick the kitties up. So.
My name is Nawanda Chambers, co-host of the Black Reality Think Tank, and I am coming to you with a public service announcement about the COVID-19 blues. Has COVID-19 got you down? Are you unsure of what to do to protect yourself? Stressed out because you do not know how to manage the new challenges that COVID-19 has created? Are you experiencing symptoms? Are you afraid? Do you need help with something else? If you answer yes to any of these questions, contact the crisis line at 1-800-985-5990 or text Talk With Us to 66746. Remember, there is help. And let's stay safe.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Shem Hotep, and greetings to all of you, my brothers and sisters. Welcome again to the millennial edition of the Black Reality Think Tank. I am here with four lovely young ladies who are part of the After 7 radio program. We're so excited to have them, and they're here with a guest that they're going to introduce to you as well. Dynamic conversation, really a dynamic conversation. And we thank all of you, our patrons, for supporting this program as well as the other programs that are part of the Black Reality Think Tank family. And we'll talk about those later at the top of the hour. But we really do appreciate that this, the After 7 radio program is beginning to really generate a wonderful listening audience. And I am so happy and proud of them for what they do. So for Shani B, Lady B, Maya Marie, and Tabby, these are the ladies of the After 7 radio program. And so with that, I am going to get right into the conversation. I'm learning so much from them, too. I guess you never get too old to learn. You say, there's an old saying that goes, learning is from the cradle to the grave. And I am truly learning from these young ladies today. And this is going to be an interesting conversation. So with that, I am going to turn you over to Maya Marie. Good afternoon, Maya Marie. How are you?
Good afternoon, Dr. Rogers. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. And we're just going to get right into it. Our ancestral program. Chad Butler, better known as Pimp C, was born December 29, 1973 in Port Arthur, Texas. He was an American rapper and record producer, best known for his work with Bun B as a founding member of the Underground King, or UGK. He formed the Houston-based rap group with Bun B and rapped Underground. They were initially signed to independent label Big Time Records and released two EPs, The Southern Way and Band, in 1990. The moderate local success of these two EPs led to the group being signed to Jive Records. UGK then released their major label debut, Too Hard to Swallow, making their breakthrough into the hip-hop rap world. They then followed up with their second and third major label albums, Super Tight in 1994 and Riding Dirty in 1996. Both albums charted on the Billboard 200 and received critical acclaim. The group took a short stay in the late 90s, but returned with a bang in 2000 when they appeared on Jay-Z's smash hit single, Big Pimpin', which peaked at number 18 on the Billboard 200 and received national attention. UGK also appeared on Sippin' on Some Scissor by 36 Mafia. Both collabs greatly increased UGK's reputation in the hip-hop world and helped fuel the anticipation for their next project, Dirty Money, releases. Unfortunately, Pimp C was sentenced to serve 8 years in prison for probation violation in 2002, forcing the group to go on another hiatus. That led both members to pursue solo careers. Live records signed Pimp C while he James Time Stories. The album featured material that Pimp C recorded. Sentence. He released his second solo album, Pimpalation, in 2006, a year after that album peaked at 3 on the U.S. Billboard 200 and topped the U.S. Hot Albums chart. Pimp C and Bun B reunited one last time in 2007 and released their fifth studio album, Underground King, debuting at number 1 on both the Billboard 200 and R&B and hip-hop charts. This would end up being their most successful project of all time. It all spawned Sing Curtis earlier, the one we all know and love, the international players anthem, I Choose You, featuring Outkast. They received universal critical acclaim. Months after being released, King Tim unfortunately found a sponsor in his hotel room in West Hollywood, where he had been working on new music with rapper Too Short. The coroner's report ruled clomazine and codeine with his pre-existing condition of sleep apnea. Pimp C guest starred on several songs and contributed to artists such as Slim Thug and T.I. Numerous rappers have paid tribute to Pimp C in the wake of his past, including Bun B, Lil Flip, A$AP Rocky, David Banner, A Baller MJG, Rick Ross, and Megan Thee Stallion. So tonight we salute and remember an underground king, Pimp C. And with that, we're going to go ahead and get the show cracking. Many of you know, but we are talking about dating in 2020. So with that being said, I'm going to go over to JP.
All right. Thank you, Namaya. I mean, I'm just loving the way that you said sipping on some scissor. That was great. That was great.
Had to get that in there, girl. Had to get it in there.
I know. Okay, so we're going to get right into our topic. I know we don't have a lot of time for these topics, especially when they're so meaningful. We have a guest star here. His name is Ty Randolph, and he's going to be talking about a platform that he created for dating. Ty, did you want to introduce yourself and tell us more about your platform?
Of course. How y'all doing? I want to first say I appreciate y'all allowing me to be on the show, and I give God all the praise because he opens up doors. But I'm Ty. I started this platform. A little bit about myself. Born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm 32. And just to sum it up real quick, I've been married twice, and I got 4 kids by 3 different women, neither one of those being my wife, one of my ex-wives. I bought my grandma's house when she died, and that's kind of when I changed my life, and I decided that I wanted to be different. And then one day I was just sitting around, and I thought of, I'm ready. I'm ready to really be with somebody. I'm ready to give my all. I'm ready to be open and vulnerable again. And it started out as a joke. It started out as a joke on Facebook, cracking jokes, saying things about relationships. Like I would say something good, and then I would crack a joke, say something good, give some advice, crack a joke. One day somebody was like, man, you should start a group. And it kind of went from there. A buddy of mine was like, I'm joining the movement. And where they at kind of just blossomed from there. So now it's only on Facebook as of right now. It's just how I choose to do it at this point. But it's called Where Bay At, hashtag Where Bay At. It's on Facebook. And this group is intended to change the narrative on relationships in our community. I used to work in a school system, and I noticed that kids would cuss and fuss. I started to ask myself, like, why is that? And I thought about it. It starts at home. And so parents don't have good relationships. They don't have good dialogue. They don't know how to have disputes. You know, that falls into the kids. And so I just came up with this group. And now we talk about everything except for sex. I don't allow anyone to talk about sex, even though it is a big part of relationship. If we can't build something before sex, we can't build anything for real. You know, and so that's one thing that we don't talk about. We talk about everything else from singleness to marriage. And everything in between, finances, communication styles, love languages. We have events, like we hang out, but it's not about hooking up. It's about really learning about yourself, becoming a better person, and becoming a better person for your spouse or your mate, whoever you choose to be with. So yeah, that's really what I do. I really enjoy it, but that's what it's all about.
Okay, well, I know you said that you created this platform. The last time I checked, you have about 3,300 different followers from all over the country. Can you tell us more about, you know, your followers and the type of dialogue that you're having on your platform and how it's encouraging, you know, to enhance the communication skills of men and women?
It's about 3,300 people. I think we almost said 35, but it's growing from all over the place, and really it's been word of mouth and people just inviting their friends to come and join in. So I allow people to ask questions. Everything is really based around relationships. Like, if you need advice, if you just have a question, you've been through something, share your experiences. One of the things I did last week Tuesday, it was Transparent Tuesday. And so that was the only thing you were allowed to post about, but it was really your testimony or what you've been through, a moment for you to be vulnerable with a bunch of strangers and start practicing on how to open up to people. These people you may never see in life. However, we've like created a family almost of individuals that come on and they tell their story. And I usually start off with telling something about myself. And so we start talking, like, I talked about me being married, you know, me being going through divorce. I talked about my first marriage where I gave my all. I put everything I had into it. I did everything I thought I was supposed to do as a man. And she broke my heart. And so for 10 years, I treated people terrible. I treated women terrible. And I even got married again in that 10 years, but it was all about me and how selfish I was. And so when I start opening up and telling people, then you have people that come out and start telling stuff. I wouldn't say any names, but, you know, I've had gentlemen post in the group, like, you know, I was molested by my big cousin, and so I don't trust women nowadays. Or women that say the pastor, you know, the church was supposed to come to my house and pray, and he raped me. I just was manipulated by men, or I didn't feel love growing up, and so I tried to find love and relationships. And how does that affect you? And so we just talk about everything from your childhood to wherever you are in life now, because I feel like a lot of times we don't deal with some underlying issues, and so we drag those things into relationships. Not only did my ex hurt me, but I got hurt when I was a kid, and all this is playing a part, and so I'm not able to really release and open up to anybody or be vulnerable to anybody because I'm scared that I'm going to get hurt. And so we just continue to talk. I mean, whatever question you have, like I said, it doesn't matter what it is, everything except for sex. We talk about everything, your childhood, where you at now. Some people bring up religion because they want to talk about polygamy. I let everybody be open. It's a safe haven for people to be open and express how they feel. My belief doesn't mean that I have to push that on people. I don't push my belief on people. I allow people to talk what they want to talk. And at the end of the day, it's all about being better. And at this point, that's what it's doing. It's helping people be better. We do have, you know, it's a couple relationships that have come out the group. I know a gentleman that's planning on proposing. I can't say his name because I don't want to blow it. But he's planning on proposing next month, actually. Another gentleman just moved out of, he relocated. He found somebody, and he will tell you he uses the things that he learned in his group to be better in his relationship. I got a question for you. Yes.
So if this group is called Where is Bane, you guys don't talk about sex. Sex is like one of the big things that's a part of a relationship. So why would you not talk about sex? Because I know from, you know, my experience, one of the love languages is physical touch. And that's a big thing. So why would you not want to talk about sex?
So my belief, and this is just my belief, and it's worked for me and my group right now, is that the moment where you start bringing up sex, if people are not mature enough to have conversation about other things, if we can't sit and just have a debate or talk about finances or what it feels like to be vulnerable and open up and how do you respect a person, how do you communicate with a person, you're not ready to have a conversation about sex. And I steer away from it because a lot of times nowadays we're building relationships based on good sex. And so if that's your problem, it's never going to go anywhere. Because what if something happens to your mate and they can't have sex with you no more, or something goes wrong, a medical condition? What else do you have to stand on? And so I really push for people to get to know somebody. Because if we do well and it's good, now all of a sudden I think what happens in a lot of these, they have sex, and all of a sudden now, oh my God, he did this to me, or she feel like this, and now that's all I think about. So we don't have to talk. We can be angry at each other as long as we fuck it, or excuse my language, as long as we're having sex, then it doesn't matter. And a lot of people base their relationships on that, and so I choose not to talk about it. Plus, honestly, I don't believe people mature enough to have that conversation.
Like, right off out the bat, they're not ready to have that conversation, right, is what you're saying?
Okay. Off the bat, they're not ready to have a conversation.
So I know you've been in existence for like a little bit over a year now. And, you know, I was, you know, investigating, looking at your website, and I have you know, we had like this ladies' night this weekend, and we all got together. We talked about the topic, and we talked about, you know, hey, is one woman ever enough? You know, I have a group of dope women, you know, each and every one of them are dope. And let's just use Tavy for an example. Tavy is like, she's a beautiful, gorgeous woman. You know, hands down, she has her stuff together financially. She cooks, cleans, her house is never dirty. And if you ever follow her on Facebook, her meals are like gourmet meals. I mean, a woman is like the perfect package, and she's not married, you know? So like, I mean, I'm not saying, why is it that men are so scared of commitment? You know, I don't understand it. I know you have this platform and you're doing this, but only having like one successful relationship, why are men so scared to, you know, commit? They see a beautiful woman. They see a woman who has their stuff together. Why are they not committing?
One, probably because they don't have their stuff together. I'm just going to be honest. A lot of men don't figure it out until they're older. Even though I'm 32, like, I've been through a lot. So a lot of men, they don't have it together. And like I said earlier, we have so many issues from past situations, past relationships. At our last live we did, we talked about forgiveness. And people are not ready to forgive. And men get hurt just like women do, but we express it totally different. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to, because we don't have a safe place to talk. We don't have a safe place to come and say, hey, listen, I'm hurt. Like, I'm hurting. I want to break down and cry. I want to really just throw in the towel, but I can't, because as a man, that's not what you're supposed to do in this society. And so when it comes to commitment, I mean, it's a fear of, if I commit, is she going to do right by me? Partially because I like to speak about myself, and that's really all I can do is speak about myself. I've been cheated on, right? I was hurt. My ex, my first wife, like, crushed me, and I've been cheated on before by other people. It's not that hurt me. It's the things that I did. And so as a man, we've done so much. I done slept with so many married women that's in relationships. And so now it took a long time for me to get to a place that I wanted to commit to somebody, because I don't trust anybody. I was never able to trust, not because of what somebody did to me, but because of what I had done. And so, like you said, you got this woman that is awesome. But I use this analogy a lot. If you got 10 women, 6 of those women are going with no problem. They giving it up. They gonna take care of you. No problem. You don't have to put in no work. Just tell them they look good and like a couple pictures on Facebook and Instagram. And then you got 3 more women that are, they talk good. So they tell you, you know, I want my man to do this, and I want him there, and I'm ready and all that. But all you got to do is take them to Applebee's. Take them on a date or two, and it's the same thing. It's easy. Within a week, you doing whatever you want to do, and they're taking care of you. It's only that one. It's only really one woman. And this is just how I feel. It's like one woman that's like your friend, that is really ready, totally committed, got her things together, and she stands on some morals and values. And so when a man has 10 women to choose from, depending on where he's at and what he wants, and most men just be out here. They don't care. They're just doing whatever they want until they get in their 30s or early 40s, and then it's like, okay, I want to settle down. Until then, I'm going to go with the other 9. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just going to go with the other 9 and do what I want to do, because I don't want to put in all this work with her, and I don't know if it's going to work out or not. People are scared of the unknown. Men are scared of the unknown. No matter what we talk and how tough we want to be, a lot of men are scared to really commit themselves. But then that's a personal thing, too.
So you're just saying that men are just scared of commitment. So in your group, like, what type, other than the dialogue and everything, what other things are you doing to try to get men out of, I guess, that state of fear? Because I said, every one of us, each and every one of us we're dynamic women, and I could talk and write a book about each one of these ladies that sit on this panel, you know, but the challenges in the dating area, I'm not saying them in particular, but from my female friends and from what I'm hearing from women, you know, men are not committing. you know, what, I mean, I understand that they're not ready, they're not doing this, but, you know, what are you doing to help the your brothers, the people who follow you, get ready? You know, because that's the issue. If they live in fear, they're doing this, they're not ready to commit, how can you get them, you do you understand what I'm saying? How can you get them
I try to expose them. I try to expose them to women like you all. Women that are of a different caliber. Women that are ready, that's not just going to be easy. It's not going to just tolerate anything. The problem is, because just like you're saying, women are having these issues. I have men that come to me and be like, hey, bro, she's saying this in a group, but listen, I just busted her down. So that's the problem, because there's a lot of women that saying these things, and I know y'all women, y'all gonna ride for y'all, but there's a lot of women that saying those things and doing something completely different behind closed doors. You get what I'm saying? And so it ain't really that a man won't commit, it's just, it's too easy. It's too easy. And women that be talking, they talk a good game, and they say what they want, but behind a door, when nobody else is around, what are they really saying to these men? Or what's really going on with these men? I don't know y'all that well, so I can't speak on y'all, but a lot of women are doing this, and that's the problem. And so, like, if women want to see something different, they got to hold a sister. Men are going to follow. If you go to a church, you open up a church, men are coming if women are there. That's just how it goes. If you open up a club, if you get women to come, men are going to follow, right? And so if women want something different, unfortunately, they got to start doing different, and men will follow. But there is no real standard to what a man looks like sometimes.
So basically, women just got to keep the cookie in their pants. You know, don't give it up until they... Yeah. It, okay. Well, my sister got something to say about that. Tavy?
Okay. No, Shawnee, I really appreciate the compliment. Ty, so are you saying that I'm doing too much? And it's a waste of time.
You're doing too much how?
All my cooking and cleaning and my barbecuing, I'm doing too much.
Listen.
Look at her Facebook. Look at her Facebook, though. Look at her meals.
No, but seriously, though. So I agree with you. I agree with you to a certain extent with that, that there are so many easy women that when you do find a good woman, it's kind of, you know, do I want to do this? Should I commit to this? Do I want to put my all into this? And there's 9 other women over here ready to go. So I agree with you there, for sure. The things that I do them because I truly enjoy doing them. So it's heartfelt. It's genuine, you know? So it is unfortunate that women like me or women like us have to switch up things that we, you know, enjoy doing as women, because there are so many women that are far more appreciated for the, I should say, reckless, you know, the sex and the extra pictures on Facebook or social media overall, they get the attention that the good women deserve.
So I hear you.
So I can agree with you that that's reality. That's what happens.
As a man, we all know that men are hunters. That's what everybody says. Men are hunters. They're supposed to be the ones to approach. They're supposed to be the ones to do all this. If most men, the only thing that they like looking for is that they want you physically. You know what I'm saying? Everybody ain't trying to build and grow. Everybody's not trying to have this business partner and this partner forever. So if you give that up right away, and you're giving up so much right away, you know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't even got to be doing them up. If you cooking for them, you cleaning, if you making sure he's straight, making sure his kid's straight, that ain't, you're already doing it. So what else am I working for? I'm getting what I want. What he wants, I'm getting what I want. I got what I want. So do I? I don't got to commit to you. All I do is make you feel like I'm committed.
You mean pretty much just saying like, why have the cow get the cow if you can get the milk for free?
Right.
But my thing is, so as us as women, this is what we do. We're nurturers and we take care of business. For some of us, we just boss women at the end of the day. So it's just like, you get a man that you're saying that if I can get the milk for free, then why buy the cow? That right there just makes me believe
Let me ask you this, because if this is what you're dealing with and we believe in the law of attraction, right, then now it has to be a question of what are you attracting? Like, I can't just make it sound like men are just all bad, because now it has to be what are you attracting? Because I can go, I can call 10 men right now that I know are on their shit, and they're ready. They ready, just like they like me, and they're ready. They got their things together. They know what they want. So then you have to ask yourself, what are you attracting as a woman? Or what are your downfalls? What are you doing that you keep attracting the same type of person? Because then you got to, I mean, are you just looking for a certain type? You're looking for a certain height, the way they look? Because now you got to, I ain't saying you got to let go of your what you want, but sometimes what God got intended for you may not come in the package that you want. And so are you attracting the same type of man? If you keep having the same issues, the problem ain't them, it's you. And I'm not talking to you specifically, but anybody. If you keep having the same issues with men or having the same issues with women, it's not them. Not everybody else, then it's you. And you have to look at yourself and say, okay, what am I doing to keep attracting this garbage? And then you got to change that.
So, and just do the work.
Yeah. That's basically what it's going to boil down to. You find the same niggas at the lounges and the bars, the cigar bars. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you attracting? Because we believe in the law of attraction.
I can only speak for myself with that. Like, I am in a relationship, and I do appreciate the man that I'm with. And I've come to a point as I get older where it's like, looks don't matter. He's fine, though, but looks don't matter, you know. And I think he treats me really well, you know. And it's what I desire. It's not what everyone else, like, you know, buying bags and buying shoes and all these different things. That's not me. You know, my everyday is settled, and it's, you know, it's genuine love, and I appreciate those things. And I think a lot of people dating right now don't really know what it means to date and what it means to love, and you know what I mean. So we're kind of, it's a factual, I don't even know how to necessarily explain it, but we're kind of just all out here just dating and faking, and it's all about money, cars, and looks, and it's not what's up. So I think everybody's single and searching, and like you said, they run into all the same type of men because that's all they're really about, so it doesn't reach another level.
At the end of the day, a lot of us weren't taught. We grew up in single-parent households, right? A lot of people.
Sure.
We wasn't taught what it looks like to love. We didn't see that. Like, I'm not saying that my parents, I'm not saying that they failed, but they didn't take time to teach me what it meant to love, for real. Like,
right.
You grow up, you just naturally, oh, mama, I love you, because that's what you're supposed to do. But what does that look like? Or my mother never sat and talked to me about how to really treat a woman. I learned because I seen how she was treated. You know what I'm saying? Or what she said she wanted. I listened. When I was upstairs in my room, I would hear her on the phone if she was crying or talking about somebody. I paid attention. But that's still not sitting down talking to me as a young man, as my mother saying, hey, Tyson, you need to do this. You need to do that. You should do it like this. And so I get older now, and now I just got to fend for myself. I know I want a woman, but I got to fend for myself and figure it out. Like I said, my first marriage, I can tell you, like, she did me bad. But at the same time, being a mature adult now, all I knew was go to work and come home. I thought that's what I was supposed to do as a husband. I didn't understand she wanted to go out on a date. I didn't know what that was. I was 19, 20. Go on a date? Okay, you want to go to the movies? Because that's all I know. But we're not taught this in our community. Just like we ain't taught about financial literacy, we're not taught what it looks like to date properly. Many people
so, Ty, what does that look like now, though? Because there's a lot of men that are older, over 30 now, 30, over 35, that don't know how to date. So how, like, you know a lot of men, you have a lot of friends. So how do those conversations go? You know, you guys just sitting around just talking. How do you pump each other up to do right?
We talk about it. I'm big on, like, and I hate reading, but I'll read about relationships. Like, I read The Five Love Languages. I've read, it's a book called The Relationship This Month. I've read books on this, and I read the Bible a lot, because the Bible really tells you exactly how to date, how to be married, how to love. Like, that's just what I believe. And so we got to put in work. Men have to put in work. You can't, I mean, having a conversation with my guys, if I'm talking to a bunch of broken men, they're not going to give me good advice. You know what I'm saying? So you got to surround yourself with men. Like, I love kicking with people that's married and healthy relationships.
Right.
Because they can give me advice. And if I'm in a relationship and things are going bad, they not saying, man, fuck her. It's just so many of them. They're saying, no, Tyson, it's hard work. And you got to get up every day willing to put in the work for your relationship. And so that's what I try to tell men. every day you got to get up and put in work if you're in a relationship. Just like every day you got to put in work to get paid, you're going, whatever you pour into a woman, that's what you're going to get out of them. Right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like learning this right now. And so when I learn it, you know, I just kind of share it with other men and we talk about it. We have discussions and I try to tell them, like, hey, read this, read that, you know, try this, try this exercise. I went to therapy. My last little relationship I was in, I was figuring it wasn't working. I want to find me a therapist because I need to deal with me, because I know I want to do right. And let me make sure I'm doing the right thing. So sometimes we got to reach out to professional help to figure out what is our problem and then give us tools to be able to use to be in a relationship, because we don't know. So that's what I do. I encourage people to read, put in work, listen to videos on YouTube about relationships, do some soul searching yourself.
I'm recently divorced. I was married for 10 years roughly, and I will say we did a lot of dating before we got married. During our marriage, like, it was just a must that we had to have a date night. He knew how to date when it came to spending money date, but I had to teach him how to do a cheap date when, if we ain't got no money, we still dating, but we doing this for free. I had to teach him that stuff. But I feel like in your relationship, the best teachers are each other. You have to teach each other what you want, because a great book for couples is The Five Love Languages, period. And it teaches each other how to love that person in their love language, not your own. And I feel like that's one of the biggest issues with people. When you're trying to find bang, you're looking for somebody that's going to fill your cup. But if you not even filling their cup, how can y'all even be in a relationship together?
The Five Love Languages is a great book. And this is, like you said, it teaches you how to realize, you know, what is your love language and how you like to be loved. Most people don't realize that I have to know how I feel. Like, mine is quality time and gifts. It's just what I like, right?
I'm sorry, you said quality time and gifts?
Yeah, that's me. But the way that I express love is gifts. I love buying gifts. I love, like, random stuff or stuff I know you want, I'll buy it. However, if yours is words of affirmation, I can buy you everything in the world. It won't mean anything, but I can tell you you're beautiful. You know what I'm saying? I can tell you I love you. Most people don't realize that. Is that it's not how I want to express it. It's how you want me, how you're going to receive it.
That's
right. People don't understand that part. You know what I'm saying? So they feel like, no, but I'm doing this. Or we went to the movies and I spent time with you. But all you wanted was for him to give you a hug or come up behind you in the kitchen and just hold your neck and kiss you on your neck and tell you that he loves you. You know what I'm saying? But people don't realize that because they're so focused on, this is how I show love. And that's not correct. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not correct.
Yeah, that's a great book to reference. I love that book. I've read it a couple of times. What I wanted to say, like, I am kind of like a serial dater. You know, I go on plenty of dates. I don't have any issues with finding dates or anything like that. I really want to know, from your perspective, you know, it's, are you upfront, or what do you feel about people being upfront when it comes to dating? You know, like, when I meet a guy, I know instantly that I'm going to friend zone him. I know what position he or role he's going to play in my life. And a lot of these dudes, they don't really meet the cut, but, you know, I don't always tell them. So what is your take on that? You know, why don't I tell them?
Yeah. Why not?
Nah, it's not about me. I'm
why not tell them?
I mean, eventually, you know, like, I legit,
right
I mean, because I just like the attention, probably. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but, you know, like, one of my dates, and we were talking about it at our ladies' nights, on my first date with my ex, he literally legit proposed to me the first day we went out, you know. And, I mean, I know I'm a bomb-ass woman. I know I have what it takes, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe I just want to – I see potential in guys. And I don't want to give them, hey, you're not enough or you're not this, like, right up front. You know, I watch them, you know, to see if maybe, huh?
What are we holding on to? What are we holding on to? The possibility?
I mean, I like friends.
You can't date for potential.
No, I like friends. I like having male friends. I like having friends. So when you tell a guy that you are in the friend zone, the guy doesn't do anything for you. He stops, you know what I'm saying, dating you, or he stops trying with you, you know, and I like when men try. So if I tell a dude right up front, I mean, I'm just being real. I'm being honest. If I tell a dude up front, you're in the friend zone, I could never date you, then I stop getting, you know, Benihana's for lunch. Then I stop getting, you know, the things that I like, you know, because he's trying to pursue me.
But you're a boss. And so
that has nothing to do with anything.
You got to get your own Benihanas.
That has nothing to do with anything. I can get my own Benihanas. But
So let him go. You don't want to date him, and he's looking to.
I do want to date him. I said,
so that's not fair. So if you're not in your life, then you got to move around. And you got to play you got to say what's up. You got to say what it is from the
right.
I was just about to say that.
Boo.
See, that's if you know you're friend zoning him, then it's like, I don't want to waste my time. If I'm friend zoning you, I mean, we can say, hey, how you doing, that kind of thing, but what's the point? If we're working towards being in a relationship, then I don't want to, you know what I mean?
I mean, I don't want to.
It's not shiny in my way, because I'm over here cooking and cleaning, and then it's women like you that want that side and that side stuff, and then you in my way. That's what it sounds like. That's what I heard.
No, wait, hold up.
Because now he's going to think I'm acting like you, and I'm really real. I'm really doing what's up. I'm what's up, and you in my way.
I feel like
I'm kind of with Shani, though. Like, if he not bringing everything to the table that I need, then I need to keep my options open.
Thank you.
I don't know what you bring into the whole table unless we date. Like, if we don't get at least like five dates in, by the fifth date, I'm going to know if you working with something to bring to my table. If not, then yeah, I will let you go, but we got to date first.
Not necessarily,
because I said I still have potential. I know right away, and I give them a chance to prove me wrong. And they don't prove me wrong.
If you're dating with a purpose, right? We're dating with purpose. And so, listen, you're not going to meet my purpose. I'm done with you. It's not a bad way. We can be cool, but it won't be that. And if I tell you that up front, listen, he may choose to still be around. But if you just drag him along, guess what? You're hurting that man. So the next
Ty, just kick me out of the group. Just kick me out of the group. Because honestly, I tell people up front, like, we're not boyfriend and girlfriend. We're just dating. You know, like, so whatever you decide to do for me, that's on you. I'm not telling nobody we're in a relationship and I'm not romancing, you know, the idea of us being together. I'm telling people up front, hey, I'm single. This is what it is.
Right.
I mean,
if you guys don't want to buy the cow, then why not? Why can't women do it? Like, if guys, they want to date all these women because, well, she does this and then this one does that, it's no different than a woman saying, I'm keeping my options open because,
we're dating
with a purpose. But people have to fulfill their purpose. In order to do that, you got to work toward it. You got to make your mistakes and grow from it.
She said she knows right away that she's going to friend zone him.
I said, I feel like I can tell right away. And I mean, like, you miss out on opportunities. You know what I'm saying? I've met some really good friends. Like, one of the guys that I dated in the past, he used to bring me really nice. That's my love language, gifts. I like gifts. So he used to bring me gifts. And we ended up being friends. I helped counsel him through the relationships that he went through. So, I mean, we ended up being really good friends. I mean, I don't see cutting somebody off just because, I mean, I don't see the value in that. I like friends. I like having friends.
Necessarily, I don't think it's necessarily cool. Cutting anybody off. I'm just saying, from my perspective, you know, you're going to friend zone, y'all be cool. And y'all can, if y'all...
I think you were going in and out, Namaya. And
can
I mean,
you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. So I'm just saying, like, as far as dating is concerned, nobody's saying that you date and keep your options open and date a couple different people until you find the one that's for you. But if you know off top this dude is not the dude for you, then it's like, okay, we could be cool and I can help you. Like you said, you counseled him through his other relationship. That's cool. But like as far as him maybe thinking y'all or y'all move towards something, that's not going to be good.
If he's still buying gifts, he's still pursuing you as an option. And you're already done with him. So why even? That means that you're not making it clear. And you said that you like the attention. You like the gifts. And so you, so that means that you're sending the wrong message. You gotta be.
Guys usually know who their wives are. Like, I've always been told that. Like, my grandfather, my father, like, a man knows who his wife is before, like, the third date. Like, you just know who your wife is. Like, my other half, my ex-other half, he knew I was his wife since we was freaking 15, and we literally got married. And I wasn't even thinking of pursuing him. I tried to friend zone him, but he wasn't allowing it because he knew in his mind, no, you gonna be my wife. So I feel like with guys, if a girl can do it or if guys can do it, then why can't girls do it? Because guys know who their wife is going to be. So you're friend zoning females all the time and you just don't really tell them. It's just, she just don't know.
You know what? Years ago, I would say I agree. I sure did. But right now, no, I'm pretty clear. Like, nah, this is not going to be it. I wish I could show y'all. I got some messages from today, and I'm like, listen, sweetie, I am not interested. And so I'm just going to tell you right away. I need you to know, because that's how people get hurt. Because some people are really genuinely trying. And if I know that I'm not rocking with you, I don't even want you. I'm not going to drag you along. You know what I'm saying? And so
how many
bangs
can you have in rotation at a time?
There's levels to this. So you technically can't be bae. You could be a boo. Right, so you got the boo phase first. Like, that's when you kind of date and walk with people. Once you hit bae, we've discussed and made a vow to each other, like, okay, it's me and you, we exclusive, right? Then you bae.
Oh, bae is the top, okay.
Yeah, that's top of the line. Okay. Like, you're not, everybody can't be bae. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't like dating, but that's the thing, and that's what we try to figure out in the group. What does dating look like? Because in the beginning, I just met you. So whoever, I can go out with you today and somebody else tomorrow, you can't be mad about that. You can't say anything about that. Until we decide, okay, this is what we want to do. This is, we're going to exclusively date. We're going to date each other. That's it. So we got to have that conversation.
I guess that takes it back to Shanti. Why would I tell you if you're not going to date me how I need to be dated then, right?
Absolutely.
Now I'm dating Shanti. So you're going to take me to Applebee's, and you're going to take the other girl probably tells you that she... I like Applebee's, by the way. But you're going to take other girl. You're going to take her somewhere else because she's claiming to only date you. So I had that real conversation with you about being open. So you're going to kind of, you know... treat me however, right?
No.
So is that real? Is that true to say? Is that a fact?
When Applebee's was open, like, and they had a lot of locations, that was all the first dates. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long I've known you. Listen, we're going to Applebee's, 2 for $20. And I might take you after 9 o'clock because we can get half-price appetizers. Like, just I was with it. Dollar margaritas, half-off appetizers. $30, we both gonna get wasted and eat good. You know what I'm saying? But that's not, you can't worry. If I take somebody to Applebee's and take somebody else to Benihana's, that's not your worry. It doesn't matter. Maybe she said, you just said you like Applebee's, right? Maybe the other lady said she like Red Lobster or she like Benihana's or she like whatever. That's what you said you like. So I'm taking you where you said you wanted to go. Where I take the next woman has nothing to do with you while we're dating. Like,
but what if I was just saying that to keep it cute?
Because it's the first date.
See, that's the problem right there, Tavy. Right there. Wait, let me stop. Wait. Let me answer this because I'm a woman. That's the problem right there. Like, we legit set our expectations too low for these men. Like, off jump, I teach you, I ain't going to give y'all too much. But right off jump, I'm not finna tell you or whatever that I like cheap shit. And that's just me. I'm gonna give you or whatever some really expensive shit. You're gonna feel like you gotta come out your pockets. And I'm not saying it like that, but I'm just saying, like, I know my worth. And I don't expect you to do anything for me that I can't do for myself. But on top of that, my daddy always taught me or whatever that you don't fuck with nobody that can't do what I do for you. And if you can't do what my daddy do, bro, we ain't got nothing to talk about.
But I know what I can do for myself, though. I know what I can do for myself, and I'm a sucker for conversation, and it's beyond that. You know, I can feed myself whatever I like. So that's nothing. That means nothing to me because you showed me a couple dollars. You know what I mean?
It's not about them showing you a couple dollars, because I've talked to some men that have a lot of money. It's not about that. It's about knowing your worth. I know girls, and, you know, I work in a community with young ladies. I know girls who are giving it up for a bag of chips. You know, when you lower your standards to a bag of chips, $40 on whatever. I ain't even going to give that. We're not giving that energy. But it's messed up. And it makes it hard for women like me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not settling for nothing. If you can't come to the table, if you can't meet me halfway, like, you know, and you ain't got no plan to get there, like, bro, we got issues.
I don't think that's a settle for a cheap meal.
No, it's not a settle for a cheap meal. No, it's not a settle for a cheap meal. That's if you like Applebee's, you like Applebee's. But we are at the 7 o'clock mark, and we do have to go on break. Dr. Rogers, did you want to give us a historical viewpoint on the situation before we go on break?
Ooh, boy, y'all got me laughing over here, man. And Shannon, you, my friend, I've known you for a long time. I gotta ask you that serial data. I never heard of that in my life. Okay, all right. Well, listen, I will say this much, because, you know, like I said, we don't have a lot of time. I will say this much. One of the things that I clearly observing that there is a gap. There's a huge gap between men and women. It's like that book. I read a book some time ago where it says men are from Mars, women are from Venus. That's true in some of this conversation that I'm hearing. The other thing, though, I think that is real critical, you talk about the historical perspective. Here's the real bottom line to a lot of this. Most of our orientation about relationships and family is European. We are African-American people, and we have not had the opportunity to raise our families as African people. We raise them as Europeans, and that's because of slavery. We were brought over here. We were put into a horrible system. We had a system where the man could not protect his woman or his children. She had to do all kind of different things in captivity that gets passed on down through the gene line. As a result, you have nothing but the European version of looking at it. And then the other thing is the economics. You know, economics is dictating relationships. And that's a lot of has to do with the money. You know, and then the other part of that, and my brother can tell you this, he's been very honest, and he can be very honest and tell you this, men are looking at a whole nother thing. It's not about some of the things you're talking about. They're looking at other stuff, you know, and maybe when you come back, you can talk about that. But the bottom line is the orientation. The orientation is European, all the stuff that we're talking about now. And the unfortunate, you're not going to be able to change it because it's, you can change it, but it's going to take a lot of work to take that orientation back to a more of a who we are. And when I say who we are, I mean our bloodline, our genes. Our genes are not developed like that. So with that, we'll go to the break, and then maybe you all can pick up on some of that conversation later. Okay.
The gypsy woman told my mother before I was born, you got a boy child coming, gonna be a son of a gun, gonna make pretty women's jump and shout, then the world wanna know what this all about. But you know I'm here. black cat bone. I got a mojo too. I got the Johnny Conqueror. I'm gonna mess with you. I'm gonna make you girls leave me by my hand. Then the world will know that I'm a hoochie coochie man. But you know I'm here. On the 7th day, on the 7th month, the 7th doctor said he was born for good luck, and that you see, I got $700. Don't you mess with me, but you know I'm here.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
We are back with the After 7 young ladies who are talking about relationships. But before I turn the mic back over to them, let me just remind our listening audience that the Black Reality Think Tank operates here 4 times a week. We have a program on Tuesday that comes on at 7 p.m. Central Time, hosted by myself. It's basically designed around political, economic, social issues, very similar to even some of the ones that you hear tonight. But that is at 7 p.m. every Tuesday, right here on the TimePointAwakening.com network. And then on Thursday at 6 p.m. Central, we have the After 7 program with these four lovely young ladies who are part of a millennial perspective. And we are here, as I said, every Thursday at 6 p.m. with them. And then on Saturday at 3 p.m., we have a program called Black Sister Talk, Where You Can Breathe. And that program is hosted by Mr. Wanda Chambers and Ms. Leola Williams. And that's every Saturday from 3 p.m. to Central. 3 p.m. Central, right here on this network. And then on Saturday from 6 p.m., beginning at 6 p.m., there is a program called The Elders of Sankofa. That program is hosted by Brother Alfonso Watkins, and that program deals with looking at life through the eyes of our ancestors. And so all four of those programs are part of the Black Reality Think Tank family. You can go to our archive by going into the website of www.timeforanawakening.com, www.timeforanawakening.com, and you can play any of the programs. They are part of the archive. Go into the archive portal and pull up the Black Reality Think Tank, and you can find any of the programs that have aired here and listen to them as well. We are also a part of the BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com as well, which is the number one Black Talk Radio podcast system in the world. It is number one, rated number one, not internationally. And so proud to be a part of that platform as well. There are some other programs that are on this system. I just want to mention real briefly on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You have a program called African Perspectives. That program is hosted by Brother Osiemi Adelabu. It is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. He's broadcasting out of Atlanta, Georgia. That's from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, African Perspectives. And then on Friday and Sunday, we have Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening is the host of the program, of those who are the ownership of the Black Thought Radio Network Time for an Awakening platform. That's Brother Elliot. Comes on comes on Friday from 8 to 10 Eastern Time. They are broadcasting out of Philadelphia, 8 to 10. And then again on Sunday from 7 to 10. All right here on the timeforanawakening.com network, which is a part of the Black Talk Radio Network. So we thank all of you, again, for your support. We are looking for some wonderful additional things that we're going to begin to do, and so we appreciate you being here. So with that, we're going to go and see who has the Hoochie Coochie Man that they can talk to. Go ahead, my sisters. You got it.
So, you know, Dr. Rogers,
I'm messing with y'all. You know I'm messing with you, right?
I know. But we had to bring that up because I thought that someone was going to say something about how the generations are different for dating. Yeah. Like as far as the youth and the music and, oh, you guys are like this because of the music that you listen to. So I just wanted to bring that to the forefront because it's in the music. It was in the music back then, you know, and it's in the music now. So there's no difference. But let's get into some group questions. I want to talk to and ask everybody. Online dating, let's start with Tavy. Yay or nay?
Nay. You need me to explain what?
Somebody has a background. Okay.
Oh, it's a nay for me. It's a nay for me as well.
But ladies, y'all got to tell us why.
For me, it's scary for me. I don't really believe that people are who they say they are. So I prefer to meet a person in person.
Okay.
So well, what I can about... really say just, I'm sorry, I'm just jumping in, but what... As far as online dating, I can say yay. And the only reason why I say yay, because Tavy, I felt like you before. And I'm like, oh, no, it's scary. You know, I don't know who catfish and all of that. I didn't want to have any part of it. But one of my cousins met her husband on an online dating site, and she encouraged me to try it. And I actually, you know, of course, there are going to be some weirdos out there. But then there are some nice guys, too. And I've met nice guys. I dated a guy for months. But I think it's all in you have to know you, who you are, what you want. And you got to kind of weed out the weirdos from, you know, the really good people. There are some good people on there.
Well, I watch a lot of Law & Order, so, yeah, no.
Yeah. What about you, Ty? What is your response towards that?
Online dating. I'm here for it all. Let's go. I'm here for it all. I'm going to do it either way. Online dating, I don't do a whole lot of talking online dating, though. Like, I'm on all of them. Plenty of Fish, Farmers Only, Christian Mingles. I done did it more. Like, I don't care. But I don't do a lot of talking. So it's like, hey, I think you're beautiful. How are you? You going to respond? Okay, would you like to? Here's my number, you can call me. And I feel like that because if I met you in Walmart, we're not going to have a long conversation, excuse me. If I met you at a grocery store, at a clothing store, if I met you out at the beach, we're not going to sit and have a long talk. So I don't feel like I should continue having this long dialogue online. And listen, if you're interested for real, just call me and we can cut to the chase on a lot of this. And let's link up. Like, we don't have to go 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, 6 months before you... Okay, now I feel comfortable to give you my number. We're not going to do that.
Okay. All right. So the next question, I would say talk over the phone, FaceTime, video chat, or text. Like, what's your favorite form of communication with they? Hi.
For me, it needs to be a little bit of both. We at work text me throughout the day. We can text each other. But we need to talk too. And I want to FaceTime you. But I'm more of like a face-to-face person. Like, let's see each other. You know, I need to watch how your body moves, your body language and all that too. So I don't want to do a whole lot of over the phone and all that. I'm grown now. We're not staying up all night. You go to sleep first. Don't you go to sleep. I'm not doing all that. But,
well, that's
let's talk. Let's meet up.
I like those conversations.
I like them too, but truthfully, I mean, let's link up face to face too, because that's sometimes you can really see what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Somebody can tell you, hey, I love you, and be smiling and laughing like, oh, she falling for this. So I need to see everything that's going on. I got to read everything, not just your words. What is your body saying?
Okay. What about you, Tavy?
Since Ty brought in person, I'm going to do in person and talk. I can do FaceTime, too. I'm down with everything. I'm really not a texter. That's not my thing. But everything is.
I want to know what the serial dater does.
I do a little bit of everything. You know what I'm saying? FaceTiming, talking, texting. I really don't care too much for it. But, you know, if I'm at work and I can't talk to you, if I'm doing something, then, yeah, text is fine. But I spend a lot of time on the phone, you know, because I'm not, yeah, I ain't going to get too personal. But, yeah, I'm not going spending a night over nobody's house. So, yeah.
Most definitely not. We're not doing that.
She on date number one, texting, setting up date number two. That's how I feel.
She who, me?
Yeah, you.
Nah, that's not me. But what, Lady V, what about you?
Of an in-person, talking to a person more than texting, only because I feel like a lot of things get lost in translation when you texting, so I don't really care for the texting part. Like, I'll text if I'm at work, but if I'm not at work, then yeah, just talk. Let's be in person. I want to feel you. I want to see your eyes. I want to know how you really feel about what I'm saying.
Agreed.
Oh. Okay. And Maya, you want to chime in?
I'm like you. I do a little bit of everything. So, you know, like you said, if it's during the day, and we're working, we text it. If it's in the evening, you know, we can see each other and we got time to pick up and grab, you know, something to eat or some ice cream or something like that. And I do also like to talk on the phone. I can do the FaceTime. I can do the Facebook Messenger. We can look at each other and see each other. So I kind of do everything. I want to, if it's a way to communicate, I'm going to do it.
Okay. All right. So first date. Is your first date going to be public or private? Like, I don't know who came up with this question. Is it Tavy? Did you come up with this question? Like, what do you mean by public or private?
So meet at your house.
Oh, so that's a private date.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you guys think, Ty?
It was cool during quarantine. That was all we could do. Not that it's opened up. No, you can't come to my house. Like, let's go out. And because I feel like this, if you're single, for real, then we can go out. We can be seen. It's a date, you know what I'm saying? So let's go out. We can't go to the movies, though. We need to go somewhere where we can actually talk and have some fun. But I'd rather be out and about. The house is too private. It's too safe.
Yeah. Understood. What about Maya?
Maya Marie? I'm here. If it's a first date, I believe it should be in public. Because we're just not the first time going out. We getting to know each other. And I think my house is too personal. And I've had situations like that where I've had a guy and he just wanted to come to my house. Like, when can I come through? And I had to tell him, like, you don't qualify for the come through package yet. You understand what I'm saying?
A lot of applications.
Like, you don't qualify for that. I need to get to know you before I have you up in my house.
Mm-hmm. And Lady V, what about you?
I am most definitely a public person because if especially if it's the first date, I don't know if you about to try to chop me up into little pieces. So I need to see you in public so I could take pictures and show my family, like, last place posted, Applebee's bar. If I don't come home, they know where I was. I'm just saying.
See, I guess I'm like 50-50. You know what I'm saying? Like, you won't come to my house, but I may come to your house. But my friends and family will have a picture of you. You know, I'm going to drop a pin and show everybody where I am. So I won't have that issue. If you are a serial killer or something and you're trying to chop me up, people will find you. But when we go to your house, it's not going to be me. There's no Netflix and chill. There's a walk in a park. There's something that's going to be done outside. So I don't mind going to somebody's house. It depends on what activities. Like, if you got a party going on at your house, I'll come to your house. You know, but it's definitely not going to be any one-on-one action. But I like public dates, too. And that brings me to our next question, which is, do you guys like planned dates or spontaneous dates?
Spontaneous. I'm terrible at planning things out. I'm terrible at it. So if you want me to do it, it's going to be something spontaneous, almost like, hey, you free? You free today? All right, I'm going to come get you at this time. And we're just going to go do something.
Okay. And what about you, Tavy?
If you want me to come with you, it's going to be planned. I can handle a spontaneous date here and there, but I'm really not. I need to be ready. So I can do some spontaneous dates, but yeah, planned for sure.
I got to catch you in the moment. It depends on is this our first date? You know what I'm saying? Am I trying to prove something? I may plan the first one, and really that's only going to be like time, you know, like, hey, we're going out.
Right. I'm cool with that. I don't have to know where we're going, but I need to know the time, and I need to know probably how I need to dress, or I am like that, so I need to know something, but I don't need to know everything, but I think once a person got to know me, then we can do spontaneous dates. That would be cool.
Yeah, see, I love spontaneous dates, and I love planned dates to be able to know what I have to wear and how I have to dress. Like, the most, I want to say, one thing that me and a guy did, we drove to Philadelphia to get a cheesesteak. That was spontaneous. It was just like, hey, let's go to Philadelphia. I know this place. And we drove from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to Philadelphia, and I thought that was pretty dope.
You're not with that man anymore?
Nah, I'm not with him anymore. But Lady V, what about you?
I am down for both. I love a spontaneous date because for me, I stay ready, so I ain't never got to get ready. I keep a go-go bag in my car, so I got something nice I can wear. I got something that's comfy to wear. But I love a spontaneous because I feel like that means you thought about something that we talked about that I would like. For you to think of something spontaneous that was going to spark my interest even more.
Dope. And Maya, Marie? Maya, do you like spontaneous dates or planned dates?
I think we like it.
Don't be talking about our friend. Nah, you ain't finna do this. Nah, you can't be talking about our friend. So the next question, it gets into the topic that you don't like to discuss, Ty. We're talking about sex. So sex with the 90-day rule, does it matter or does it not? Like, do you have a rule as far as how long it takes you or your expectation on how long you want to wait for, you know, bedding a woman?
He says everybody ready to go.
So. It kind of just depends. I ask somebody, like, do you want to boo or do you want to bae? Because if you want to really get to know me, then we probably shouldn't sleep together right away. You know what I'm saying? But it kind of just depends on the vibe and how you vibing with somebody. I don't really got no rules. It is what it is. I'm grown. Let's do it. Let's go.
So you're not touching and stuff, right? You're not going to make her feel like you're not going to keep giving compliments and making it kind of insinuating that you're ready to do it.
because you know that you don't, she doesn't want to lose you, right? So you're not going to push her there.
I ain't pushing nobody into nothing. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not claiming my hashtag me too. I don't want nothing to do with any of that. Like, if we vibing and the vibe is there, then hey, we may cross that line. You know what I'm saying? But
you're not gonna like her?
No, I ain't saying I'm not gonna like her. I've been with somebody that I slept with right away. Like, within the first 3 days, we got had sex and we rocked through a lot. But if you got a 90-day rule, if you got a period that you want to wait, I'll respect it. You know what I'm saying? Because that means most times when people just give it up real easy, it's like, if you did this for me, you done did this for somebody else too.
So question. Is there a time frame that you will not wait for? Like, is there a time frame that you won't, like, do you need sex, like, before this time frame for you to stay interested in a woman? I think that's where that question is going. You know, yeah, you'll respect 90 days, but would you do 180? Would you do 2 years? Like, how long will it take for you to stay interested in a woman before you give up?
I have never been challenged to a long period of waiting time. So I don't tell you. Oh, man. I can't say time on me.
Yeah, because if I have sex, we go together. So.
Okay, I hear you. But no, I've never been challenged to a long period. Like,
what's
long
the longest you've waited? Let's start there. What's the longest you've waited?
Probably like 4 months, but that was only because she was in a whole other state. She was in a whole other state. It was my first wife. Like, we talked on the phone, FaceTimed, all that stuff for 4 months. The weekend she came to Virginia to see me, the weekend we got married, was the first time we had sex and all that.
Wait, you married her the first weekend you met her? Oh, wow.
I mean, so we grew up in church together. So, like, I knew her family. I know her. But we hadn't seen each other in years. Like, years.
Okay. So you were courting her for 4 months. Yeah. And then you guys had sex. Okay. That's understandable.
Yeah, it was all phone conversation. Like, all conversation. And so, by the time she came to Virginia, we had already decided we was going to get married. She came on Friday. We did up Friday night and got married on Saturday morning.
Wow. I love the way you use these old school terms, did up, and what was the other one? It's just so funny. But
Girl,
Maya,
that's what I say.
You say did up.
I say do up. Uh-huh.
I say stuff like coochie coupons. You know what I'm saying?
No,
so
I say do up. Uh-huh.
What?
It's an inside joke. The inside joke is the inside joke, and it's only for the people that's inside the group. So it's okay. Let's put it like this. You know, I'm not giving out any coochie coupons. We call, you know, coochie coupons. You know, coupons to get incentives. The people that I'm dating. They're not getting any. So they're not, So there are no coochie coupons that are given up, you know.
Hey, that's something good for a relationship, though, because he should be able to cash in on the coupons at any time, right?
No, I'm not giving any coochie coupons.
But even when you're mad and you're in a relationship, you're in a relationship and you're mad, and he come to cash in on that. He come cash in, you got to give it up, right?
Oh,
I mean, I said I'm not giving any out. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's if I'm not giving them out, I'm not giving them out. You know, they not.
Then they can't cash in, right?
They can't cash in. Like, it's they're not getting any. So,
but I'm
thinking
you're in a relationship. You're in one.
I mean, when I'm in a relationship, we'll work out some terms during that time. You know, it depends. You know,
y'all
it's contingent upon.
Tour right now, and it shouldn't
be my
tour.
What?
Y'all
make a tour right now. No, we're not. I said that that's something spontaneous, though. Like, I think that's dope. That's a good idea in a relationship. Hey, baby, here go your coupons. Like, you can get it, but here go your coupons. So even when I'm mad at you, if you cash in on one of the coupons, I gotta be like, you know what, I gotta honor the code.
That's
the
nice.
Coupon.
No.
That is.
But Maya, did you get to answer the question though? Did you get?
What
did
question?
You even answer the question?
I kept being
the question about
out, what question?
I'm sorry, I messed you up with the coochie coupons. Okay, so
it's
90
okay.
days. 90 days. Like, do you make a dude wait 90 days? Like, what's the longest you would make a dude wait? Or what's the longest you've waited?
I think the longest I've waited has been about 3 months. I don't, it's not, for me, it's not like a set in stone rule. I kind of go by the person and if we vibe in, there's not a specific set time. Of course, I'm not giving it up ASAP. It's just not me. But I don't, there's not a set time that I have. Like, okay, I'm finna make him wait 90 days. Like, that's my rule. I've thought about it, but I haven't done that. I have waited 90 days, but it's, I think it just kind of goes on our vibe, if we vibe and what we doing, and if I'm really into you, and you're really into me.
Thank you.
But I have a question for Ty.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ty, I know when you were mentioning talking about your first wife and how you guys were in different states, what are your feelings on this relationship?
I feel like outside of being able to see each other physically, they're probably one of the best things because you're forced to communicate. You're
okay.
forced to have conversations, you know what I'm saying? However, we still want to hang out. We want
right.
to, you know, kick it, so that makes it hard. But outside of that, they are, ain't nothing wrong with them. Like I said, there's somebody in my group, he just completely moved, relocated because they
wow.
was dating, and he packed up and hit it and went to Texas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's possible. It's
and
all possible.
See, the reason why I asked is because I was in a distance relationship, and it was cool for the first maybe 6 months, almost a year, probably almost a year, because we were going back and forth to see each other. But then when we start, you know, those visits start getting lesser and lesser, then it started getting more difficult. So, and
right.
it ended up not working out. So I always try to ask, like, what do you feel about long distance relationships? Because some people it works and some people it doesn't. Because you need that, like you said, that face to face.
I wouldn't mind because I work for an airline. So maybe I'm
okay.
coming to see you. It don't even matter. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But, when you got to pay for it, then it gets a little pricey. I can see how you could kind of change up the game.
Right. Oh, okay.
Y'all done got quiet?
I think I would have to agree with that long distance relationship thing only because I know during my first year of marriage, it was the hardest. I always say the first year of marriage is always the hardest, even, you know, that first 7 year period. But he was, my ex was military, so we had a long distance relationship right off the bat. We got married 1 month, within 2 months, he was being deployed off to Afghanistan. And it was so hard to try to keep open that line of communication just because between him having to go out on tours and stuff, we had, like, our time zones was just totally different. Like, my night was his day. And if you don't keep open that line of communication, it could be, like, the hardest thing ever.
Definitely. It forces you to communicate, but at the same time, it's very hard, especially if people don't really know how to communicate and or they got other things going on.
Right. Now, let me ask you this, like, as far as, because when we're talking about dating, we've been talking about men who don't want to commit, but what about men who want to commit right away?
What's wrong with it?
Well, if we just met each other and we've maybe been out,
it's early in the conversation though, y'all said that some men they know right away if you know, like somebody said that he knew right away. See, y'all 15 that you was gonna be his wife. So when that happens, then Okay. You can't get scared when a man comes and be like, you know what, I know I want to be with you. It is what it is.
Okay. So you definitely feel like it's a possibility for that? I was going to
marry. Yeah, there's a possibility for it. Yeah.
Okay. What were you saying, Lady B?
No, I said, I know for me it scared me just a little bit, just for the fact of I ain't know who I wanted to marry at 16, but I mean, I can say because we still got married, being childhood sweethearts, it just made it a little different and more, I don't know, a little more dynamic because we knew each other.
Well, I gotta say, I agree with you on that one. Like, somebody who's ready to commit right away, it's just a little scary. Like, I was in a situation with a guy who, like I said, he proposed the first day. Like, within, you know, a year and a half, we were, I want to say, officially proposed. Like, he did it in front of my family with a ring. We stayed together for a long period of time, and, you know, it was just, it was not a good relationship. I felt like I should have took my time. Like, I should have waited. I should have got to know him better because, you know, he was a dreamer. He wasn't for me. You know, I'm all about action. I'm all about, you know, hey, you gonna talk the talk but also walk the walk, and if you don't measure up, you know, we not gonna work out.
So listen, I'm gonna say, if I'm gonna go out on a date with one of y'all and I'm like, well, this is what I wanna do, I'm telling you, you don't accept that, you gonna let your blessing walk away from you, because I know, you know what I'm saying? So I don't really, like I said, I can't speak for other people. I can only speak for myself. And if I say it, that's what I want. And I want to make sure that what I needed for us. I got a different opinion on it. I think that any two people with a common goal and some morals, some values, and some hard work can work. You can either run from it or...
Well, Ty, I think you're going in and out. We can barely hear you. Mm-hmm. We can hear you now.
I said, I believe that any two people can be together. If they got common goals, any two people can make it work. But if I come and I say, hey, you know what, I like you. We go out. You can either run with it or run away from it. You know what I'm saying? I know what I can't speak for. Can't speak for other men. I can't. I can only speak for myself. And so if it scares you, then that just means that you're not the one. But the woman that I do it to, for me, she gonna be right with it. She gonna, that's just how I feel. All
right, I feel you on that one. But again, it still scares me. I'm gonna need somebody to actually, I'm gonna need to see proof. You can say whatever you want to say, but if your actions don't align with what you're saying, like, my attention is just definitely lost. Like, I'm on to something else. But with that saying, I want to open up the floor to other people, like to our audience, to see if they have any questions. Dr. Rogers, do you have anything to add to the conversation before we open up the floor?
I must say the coochie coupon was interesting. I'll tell you that. No, I'm gonna let you go to the audience. That's real interesting.
Oh my God. Oh man, we just giving all the secrets. Oh man, this is horrible. All right, Miss Chambers, I know you are one of our hostess for another show. Do you have anything to add or any questions?
Let's see. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello.
We can hear you.
Yes, uh-huh. We can hear you.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. So I just want to let you guys know this was a really interesting topic, and personally, myself as a millennial, this is some things very interesting because I don't do none of that online dating. I've been in a relationship for 14 years, so to hear what's going on and see what I have not been involved in, it's like, woo! Thank God for the traditions. Thank God for the upbringing, and like the sister said earlier, you knowing your value. You know, that's very important for our young ladies to know. If you do not know your value and worth, you'll be selling it for that cheeseburger, that 99-cent cheeseburger when you're worth more than gold. And So my message to any sisters listening, definitely understand your value and worth, and do not settle for anything less than. Because you're teaching people how to treat you in every interaction, especially with gentlemen. And if you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. Serial dating. What? Come on. I mean, I wanted to jump in so many times on this discussion for the simple fact that I'm just like, man, it's a sister out there who would settle for that crap. You know, seriously, settle for that. So I just say, keep y'all heads up, sisters. I like what y'all doing. I'm going to try to get in here more often and hear this. But that is some straight up foolishness. I'm talking about, what? I'm serious. That's some straight up foolishness.
I mean, in my defense, you gotta, you know what I'm saying, like, with the options that we have, you know, you gotta weed through, you know what I'm saying? So it's not that I'm dating. It depends on what your idea of dating is, you know.
Directly to you or any other panelists. It's just in general. As a mental health therapist, I constantly am working with young women in the community who are going through these very things, you know, and some of them ain't even millennials. Some of these women is 40 years old still going through these things, you know. And so what I would say to this is there needs to be more relationship smarts delivered to us at a younger age, because sometimes we're not going to get that in the household. That's all I'm saying. I know right now it is survival of the fittest. It's a slim pickings on men. We live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's about a 10-to-1 ratio.
Okay.
I'm just telling y'all the truth. I know what's out there and what's going on. And you right. And then that social media stuff, you sitting up here looking at this, you know, this brother got a bunch of money, got a Rolly. You meet this brother, he got that Rolly ain't no real Rolly. You know, stuff ain't right. It ain't authentic.
Amen.
Come on,
say
sisters.
That.
Y'all know I ain't lying to you.
And he living in his mama basement.
That ain't his car.
Yes.
Come on now. That's his mama money. He borrowing. Let me hold that. She told him to go pay the rent. He out here making a pit stop in her car trying to get some trim. Come on now. You know what's going on.
But he took you to Carson, so it's all good.
But you going to fall for it because you think it look good. The packaging look good. What's in the inside? So I think it's very important that you spend some time getting to know these people, because you might find out that brother is crazy. You might find out that brother got some baby mamas and an alternate lifestyle. So, you know, get to know these people. It ain't always what it seems, is what Ms. Chambers is saying. It just ain't always it seems.
Ashe, thank you, sister, for that. We're going to let you respond, Ty. Go ahead. You got the floor, brother.
Y'all is not going to be coming at Milwaukee, man. Like, we're not. What about with the track? If you hit that person up because he had the Rolly and all the money on there, then that ain't his fault for false flagging. Y'all went for it. You know what I'm saying? So, no, this is good, man.
It is definitely some good men out here in Milwaukee. We do know that, and we understand that. We just said that we were going to date a bunch of them until I said that. We were going to date a bunch of them until I can find the one. So, I mean, hey.
Help her, Lord. It's okay.
Okay. All right, let's see if we have any more questions or comments. Caller, last four digits, 6768. Hi, you are on the air. Do you have any questions or comments for the panel? Okay. I guess not. They just want to listen. I'm going to take like one or two more questions. We have a caller from Atlanta, last four digits, 5230. Do you have any questions or comments for our panel discussion? I don't think anybody really wants to, you know, comment. I mean, I think we're going pretty well with the dialogue and everybody has something to say. And Dr. Rogers, before we went on our first break, you said that you wanted to hear more about something and you wanted us to get into depth. What was that you wanted us to elaborate on?
Lord have mercy. You don't know. let me pick one. Let's see. I'll tell you, all through so much every day. Let me ask this. you know, in my generation coming up, nobody got any kind of a date until you asked the mama or the daddy. First, you had to approach them.
But a lot of us don't have mothers and fathers.
And I know that's changed. I know that's changed. And I was getting ready to say that's changed. But in my day coming up, I had to ask either her father or her mother. And my wife, I had to go before not only the mother, the father, but the aunt, the grandfather, the grandmother, all
everybody.
Of them. Yeah. And they wanted to know who my family was, what's my plan mm-hmm. for the future. You know, just all kind of stuff, you know. So today, is there a standard that you look at now, and you look at the possibility of a mate, a lifetime mate? Is that brought to the table from the beginning, or is that something you just develop into later on? Do you do that from the beginning?
I think, yeah. I think we're supposed to set standards as far as, like, when we're looking at a mate. You know, some people, they have theirs, you know, written down. I know some people, like the famous singer Ciara, she, you know, mentions them in a prayer. But, yeah, you're supposed to have standards. Some of the standards that I have for myself, of course, will be somebody who's established. If they're not financially established, they have to have a plan. You know, I don't want to be with someone who is mentally broke or spiritually broke. Like, that's just one of my personal standards when it comes to picking a mate. And, of course, I had an active father in my life, and my father is the epitome of what a man is. So when I look at a man, he has to have some of those characteristics that I love about my father, the mindset of a hustler, somebody who's going to be able to make sure that the family is able to eat when we have nothing. I can't be with a man who doesn't have that. That's just me, but I'm gonna open it up to everybody else. Ty, do you have any standards for ladies?
Yeah, definitely got some standards. And I'm like, I would say, like, I want somebody to uphold the standard, like my mother, my grandmother, like they're more older than them, so the same thing. But they gotta have the same mindset. I'm a goddamn man, so as long as you loving and trusting her.
Ty, let me ask you a question. I was talking to a group of younger brothers in their 30s, and we were just having general conversation at one of those barbershop talks. And I asked them, what do they look for in a woman? And it was about five guys. Out of the five, three of them said they want to see her credit report. Is that something that brothers still say? Now, this has been a while ago that I talked to them about that conversation, but that struck me as really that in a strange way that they want to see their credit report.
I don't really need to see that right away to see if, you know, you could be a possible mate. I got three physical criteria. The one with Ed, pretty smart, and that's like three things I look for physically, but on like a more thoughtful process, if you got nice feet, I feel like you can stand on your own, you know what I'm saying? You're going to stand tall, you're going to stand on the side of me, we're going to stand with each other, we're going to hold each other up. Your pretty smile means that you know how to communicate, you know what I'm saying? You can talk to me, you know how to calm the business side of me, and the edges. It's like around your brain. You can think of yourself. You're not just a yes woman just because I say do it. You're actually going to be able to have some thoughts. You're going to talk to me. You're going to be able to push me, think about the different things, my perspective. And so those are the three things that I look for. And people laugh about it, but I'm so serious. And most people that know me in the group, I make it known. You got to have pretty feet, a nice smile, and some magic.
Okay. Well, you know, we're coming up on the last few minutes of our show. And Brother Ty, thank you so much for being a part of our panel discussion. We're going to let you close out first. Is there anything else that you need the ladies to know? Can you tell us one more time about your organization? And then also, you know, how can we find you? How can we be a part of that?
I'm on Facebook, hashtag, my name is Ty Grant. Facebook to find me. If you want to call me, my number is 4143. I'm just saying, I can't get my number out. But go on Facebook and just look up hashtag Where Bay At. Join the movement. It is a movement. A lot of we're being better. Another thing that if we're working it out together, we can make it happen. I really appreciate y'all. I'm sorry if these airplane pilots is talking in the background. Me and my son on our way to Milwaukee right now. So I appreciate y'all having me. Next time I have something in Milwaukee, I want y'all to show up. Doctor, it was a pleasure to meet you as well, sir.
All right. Thank you so much. And I mean, this was a great conversation. I applaud everybody who took part up in this conversation. And Tavy, thank you so much for pushing the agenda for us to even have this type of dialogue. Namaya, do you have anything that you want to close out the show with, or any last words or last remarks?
Just that, not too much, but just that, you know, we need to continue. This was an awesome conversation. It was fun. We had some fun. We laughed. We learned a little bit about each other and the way each other thinks. So I think that what we need to do as far as fostering those good, healthy relationships is talking and having dialogue about this and talking about the things that make us different. And the things that, you know, bring us together. So continuing to have the dialogue about relationships and fostering those good, healthy relationships and what we need to do to keep those going. So again, you know, I thank everybody for listening. Ty, thank you for being our guest on the show. You know, Where Bay At? You know, I hope that your group continues to grow and you keep banging out them relationships.
Yeah, Shay, and thank you, Maya, for, you know, introducing us to our guests. Lady V, do you have any questions or any last remarks for the show?
Nope, it was a great show. I know I will just continue to keep my options open and be upfront about it, just because I feel like that's the best way to go about this new open, committed, non-committed, we don't know what we do in relationship pandemic time. So that's what I'm going to do. And big up to Ty and his group, and I just hope you are helping people and helping them find a good bay.
That's right, find a good bay. You know, you guys, make sure you go to our Facebook page if you want to get connected with Ty. We'll definitely post his information on our Facebook page, After 7 Radio. And I pretty much don't have any last minute remarks. I think this was a great conversation dynamic. You know, we got a lot of stuff talked about. Our next show is going to be about open relationships. So this is kind of like the segue into the next show. And we're going to tackle something else. You know, a lot of millennials and a lot of people are in relationships, but they're in open relationships where people can date other people. Some are known open relationships and some are unknown. So we're going to talk about that next week, Thursday, same time, 6 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, or 7 o'clock p.m. if you guys are on the East Coast. I don't have much else to say. I know Tavy's not able to give her last minute remarks, but she did help produce this show. So thank you, Tavy and Namaya. You guys are new to the show and to this type of platform, but you guys are doing amazing. Thank you, Lady V, for always, you know, doing the work. You've been, you know, by my side for the longest. And Dr. Rogers, do you have any last minute remarks before we close out the show?
No, I think you all did a wonderful job. I appreciate Ty. Ty, you were brave. You're a brave brother.
Oh, yeah, he almost got attacked, didn't he?
He sure did.
But he held his own. I'm proud of him. Dr. Rogers, you sure you don't have any more questions? Because you said you wanted us to elaborate on something.
Well, I got to ponder on the serial dating and the coochie card. I got to figure that out.
Coochie coupons.
He got to ponder on them coochie coupons.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, guys.
All right,
thank you,
week.
Dr. Rogers.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody. See y'all next week.
All right.
What's your number? Where are you from?
268-192-Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah. Nice guitar. What are you going to do now that you're out?
I'm going to do the Apollo in New York.
Huh. You're a big guy.
Hey, yo, you would have just flipped on this CD player. I just want to inform you that if you got somebody good, you hold on to
them. You could give this place 10 years of your life. I don't want to ever see you here again. And don't you even look back.
Must be nice. You're the someone who understands life you live.
Must be nice.
Ever someone who's slow to take and quick to give.
Must be nice.
Ever someone who sticks around when the rough times get big.
Someone whose smile is bright enough to make
projects feel like a
masterpiece.
Ever someone who loves you despite your faults.
Must be nice.
Ever someone who talks the talk but also walks the walk.
Must be nice.
Ever someone who understands that a thug has feelings too. Someone who loves you for sure. You just remember to never let them go.
Even when your husband names are gone, she'll be by your side.
Someone you can come home to from a long day work.
Nice.
Ever someone you don't have to show, they know exactly where it hurts.
Nice.
Ever someone who trusts you despite what they've heard.
Someone as mighty as a lion,
but still as gentle as a blue.
Must be nice.
Ever someone you don't have to tell, you don't want to be lost.
Must be nice.
Ever someone you can grow old with until God calls you.
Must be nice.
Ever someone who understands that a thug has feelings too. Someone who loves you for sure. You never let them go. Cause
even when your husband names are gone,
they will be
by your side still.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.